The time is 1:33 on July 16th, 2024, and I am convening this video conference and telephone conference meeting of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed on July 3, 2024, and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of the notice should be attached to the summary of the official minutes of this meeting. A quorum is achieved as all three members of the committee are in attendance. Also in attendance are General Counsel Jackie Rickson, Executive Director Bart Bowles, Association Employees Jarrett Terry and Topping Haggerty, and from TDI, we have Sean Martin and Mandy Vasquez. All right. Bart, you want to go to item number one? Right. Consent agenda. I think we just have the minutes. Unless there are any changes, I guess I'd entertain a motion.
This is Ted. I move.
Yeah, this is Dean. I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further comments? If not, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right, consent agenda is approved. All right, Bart, item number two, cash flow projections.
Okay, thank you, Chair Harrison. You've seen this schedule several times, but let me just walk through it. We have the active insolvencies with funds needs, and we present going left to right on this schedule. The liquid assets as of May 31st, the benefits that we are projecting in January through May, that's what we've paid, remaining benefits for 2024 and the benefits after 2024. I'll draw your attention to some of the asterisks on here in the footnotes. I'm going to shift down. You can see the footnotes now. There were certain insolvencies that in July 2023 that the board of directors, based on the recommendation from this committee, agreed to fund the obligations for those insolvencies from the insolvency expense account. And on this schedule, you'll see Northwestern National, Calanthe Mutual, Time Insurance Company, North Carolina Mutual, and Southland National. So those, if you see those amounts, they are being funded from the insolvency expense
recording
account.
Recording.
Oh, let's make sure we're still recording.
As far as I know, we didn't stop. I don't know what that echo is coming from.
That's not me. I'm not doing any of this for the record.
I'll just kill your microphone, Topping, see if that helps. And see if it still records.
It wouldn't be my microphone.
Everybody else needs to be on mute.
Yeah, that may be it. So if you're not speaking, if you could put your microphone on mute, that might help with some of the echo. There we go. Okay. So I mentioned these are being funded from the insolvency expense account. And then you will see there's two specific insolvencies on here, Friday Health and Bright Healthcare. Those two insolvencies, we have not assessed for them. We have paid out substantial sums. We have already received one $25 million early access distribution from the Friday Health Insurance Company receivership estate. We have requested another $22 million. From the Friday Health Insurance Company estate. Bright Healthcare also is an insolvency with substantial assets, and we do anticipate that our administrative expenses and our obligations under the policies of Bright Healthcare will be fully funded from the estate. We are in process of working through an early access request there. We've not submitted it yet. So when you see these amounts on there, and when we get later, we'll make some mention when we're talking about our cash available needs schedule. These looks like insolvencies where we will need money, we will not. Okay, so this just kind of shows you the flow of funds through the association for the first 5 months of 2024 and what we anticipate later in 2024. I do want to point out something, and Jackie, I'm going to ask you to comment as well. Top of your screen, I mentioned the liquidation order that was entered against Bankers Life Insurance Company and Colorado Bankers Life Insurance Company on December 30th of 2022. That order has been appealed by the shareholder of the two companies, GBIG, and that appeal has been pending with the North Carolina Supreme Court. They affirmed, the North Carolina Supreme Court in March of 2024 affirmed liquidation order, but GBIG appealed or filed a petition for discretionary review. Just this week, there was a change. Jackie, could you talk about that?
Yes. So apparently what the change is, or the word we're getting from the task force, is that GBIG is going to withdraw their petition for review from the North Carolina Supreme Court. And so what that means is we don't wait for the Supreme Court to, you know, take action on its own. It will have to recognize that withdrawal in some fashion, and I don't know exactly what that will look like. But that will then start the clock ticking for the 90 days after a final resolution on the liquidation order, which is then when the association is activated. So the earliest that could be would be October 30th or November 30th.
So those two insolvencies, we anticipate we have about $102 million of obligations to pay. And we think that will occur very quickly because these are primarily annuity contracts that have had a moratorium against voluntary withdrawals for quite some time, over 4 years. And we think that there will be a rush to surrender and move those either to cash or do a 1035 exchanges to other carriers. So we are preparing and getting our assessments ready to distribute. And you did recommend, and the board authorized $102.2 million Class B assessment for these two companies during the April meeting. We're going to talk about the assessments of it later. We need to do a little bit of cleanup on the resolution regarding that assessment, but I'll save that until we get to item four. So the cash flow schedule that I presented did not have Bankers Life and Colorado Bankers on it, but I do anticipate we get to December, you're going to see some cash flow for those two companies going on into the first quarter of next year. Questions on cash flow?
Anybody, any questions for Bart? All right. Brings us to item three. Association's investments. Bart or Jarrett?
Jarrett, would you like to talk about the investments, what we're holding right now?
I can. So this is our schedule that we normally give you at each meeting. We hold the investments in three different ways: in cash at JPMorgan Chase Bank, in U.S. Treasury bills and notes, and in money market mutual funds that are invested in 100% U.S. Treasury bills and notes. And we have those at the money market funds at both Morgan Stanley and JP Morgan. And we held the treasury bills and notes at both Morgan Stanley and JP Morgan. Go on to the next page, please. Down here, we talk a little bit about the impact that the Friday and Bright insolvencies had on our investment plans. We used to hold $250,000, no more than $250,000 in cash, and then have about $2 million in treasuries mature each quarter. Because of our need for large amounts of cash to pay these health claims, we've kind of had to change that, and you'll see down there. We still try to mitigate the amount of money that we have in the cash accounts, but we have not been able to keep the $250,000 just due to the timing. You know, we'll have a we'll have a claim batch come in for $600,000. We have to fund that immediately, and it may be a day or two later before the actual money is withdrawn out of the account. So we're going to be having some cash sitting in the account for a day or two. Bart, did you want to touch on anything else on here?
No, I think that's good there. I mean, okay. that was the big thing is this flow of funds for those health insurance insolvencies. We had to hold larger amounts liquid just to meet obligations. But we're getting past that. But we also are working to get early access distributions from both Friday and Bright. So you want to report on our current holdings?
Yeah. So this is a kind of a schedule of our current holdings broken down into those pieces. The first three boxes there are money market accounts. First one there at Morgan Stanley, the second one at JP Morgan. And this one here at JP Morgan is actually basically the sweep account that we have set up. We have retained one sweep account to try to keep those cash balances down. So this is sitting in our cash accounts. And then we set up, as y'all recall, that new Morgan money at JP Morgan that invest in the same 100% U.S. Treasury funds as we have in the cash accounts, but it's a direct investment, and we're able to transfer funds out of there. The next box there is our actual cash we have at JP Morgan Chase. You'll see the balances there at the end of each month. We do try to keep those as low as possible. And so we don't try to go too far over the 250,000 FDIC protection. The next two boxes there are the holdings we have in U.S. Treasury bills and notes. The first one at Morgan Stanley and the second one at JP Morgan Securities. Are there any questions on this schedule?
Okay.
Next page, so please.
Break down this 58, the Treasury holdings for us now.
Yes. So this is a breakdown of the actual Treasury holdings and in each different broker account, their par value, their market value, and then we try to calculate a good yield to maturity for each individual one and then for the entire portfolio. And you can compare that up to the top of that page where we have relatively current yields on U.S. Treasury bills and what we are also getting in the Morgan Money account. So we're still a little below market on our portfolio because we still have some treasuries from our old methodology of keeping it every quarter. So once those are finally mature and come out, yield for our portfolio should match closer to what the market is.
And in response to the advice of Ted Kennedy, as we've been reinvesting maturities, we haven't just gone out and gone to, 6 month or 1 year treasuries. What we've found is in the last year, the treasuries with maturities between 90 and 120 days have produced the most yield. So we've had to do more frequent investments to keep chasing those yields. And it has paid off. We're maintaining yields in excess of 5%, but we're doing that by investing in 120 or 90 day treasuries.
Yeah, it's typically about 90 days is what we've been doing because that's been giving us the greatest yield because of the, and I think we've had this inverted yield curve for maybe 2 years now, it seems
like. It has been.
Yeah.
And so, Ted, we appreciate that direction. It's served the association well.
I'll send you my fee.
You got it.
So that's all for this schedule. And if I have any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Any questions from the committee? I don't have any.
No, I appreciate the update.
All right, Bart, item four, assessments and refunds.
So we're trying to give you an update of where we stand on what we need in funds. And Jarrett's added some bullet points here in the write-up to kind of show you how the funds that we had accumulated from our Lincoln Memorial Service litigation recoveries, how they were used at the direction of the board from recommendations of this committee to pay certain obligations and administrative expenses. Because of that, we haven't done a Class A assessment in a couple of years, and we are continuing to pay Class A assessments or those overhead expenses that would be Class A expenses from those funds. So we are not anticipating a 2024 Class A assessment. With respect to Class B assessments, and Jared, did you want to add anything on Class A? I did that very quickly.
No, just a reminder, because if you look at the schedule above, it shows the expense account still having some funds, but those are actually all the member balances. That's fine. Yeah. No, that's the insolvency expense account. I'm talking about the regular expense account. Anyway, there's about $3 million in the expense account between all the different accounts there. And that is the member balances that we're still holding and that we have earmarked that for those. And so we're not using that to pay any Class A expenses.
Right. So let's move on to Class B. And we did mention both Friday and Bright Healthcare. And I'll say it again. You know, we started funding Friday Health Insurance Company claims in the first week of June of 2023. And we've paid out to date, what, Jared, about $28, $29 million in claims. And we've had, I hate to say it, about $14 million of expenses, almost $15 million. It's been a very expensive insolvency. So that $25 million of early access distribution from the estate is long gone. And so we have submitted a request for additional funds, not only of what we have spent and what we have borrowed through intercompany loans, but what we are projecting we're going to need for the remainder of this insolvency. And that was submitted to the SDR. They came back with some questions. We submitted very lengthy and detailed supporting document and schedules on to justify all those expenses. We have been told that they have a couple more questions. We're waiting for them to come back. But that's been pending with the SDR for about 2 months now. So we're continuing to pursue that. It was a $22 million early access request. Bright Healthcare, this has been a little harder to predict because Friday Health Insurance Company and Bright Healthcare Insurance Company were exchange companies on the exchange, and both terminated all their exchange policies 12/31/22. We got involved with Friday Health Insurance Company and were activated March 23rd of 23. We weren't activated for Bright Healthcare until November 29th of 2023. So that difference in time, most of the what I'll call clinging claims or first impression claims for Bright had already been submitted and addressed. What we're left to deal with are really the ugliness, the appeals, the disputes, the ones that require a lot of research. And when the claim comes in, you can't use past history to say, we will pay approximately X percent of billed charges. You just can't project that because they're all fact-specific disputes and appeals. So we've paid, Jarrett, roughly, give me an idea of what we've paid, about $2 million.
Sounds about right, yeah.
We've only paid about $2 million, and we still have several hundred appeals working through. There was only a trickle of claims coming in. These are all just disputes. And then we've got one small piece of litigation. We're not involved in litigation. They were in litigation with Bright before that we need to work through and try to settle. So it's been very hard to estimate what do we think our cost for this insolvency is. So we've only been using intercompany loans and have not requested yet an early access distribution from the receiver. From a recent status call that we have with the receiver on Bright Healthcare, they suggested rather than project it, just report to us your expenses you've already incurred and paid, and we'll do early access on that. So we're going to work up our known information, what we've already incurred and spent, and try to get that reimbursed through an early access distribution. So a little bit different approach, but it's going to keep and help our cash flow a little bit. We are hopeful by the time we get to year end, we're going to be very close to wrapping up both of these. But in those of you that have worked in health insurance, closing out a block of business, it's just messy. there's all kind of little things and challenges that pop up at the end. You know, for example, right now we've got five settlements we're trying to work through on Friday, and that involves over $20 million in claims. Now, we can tell you going through those $20 million of claims, a lot of those are not valid. They're not timely, or they fail to recognize prior payments by Friday. They fail to probably recognize the member share deductibles, co-pays, co-insurance. So we're going through and doing a lot of audits on those claims. That number is going to come way down, but that just tells you the type of volume we're having to work through. And it's $26 million, I think, and a little right over 20,000 claims involved. So there's a lot to it. And both of these are going to be in the same boat. So I mentioned a minute ago about Bankers Life and Colorado Bankers, how that has changed. I was on an administrative call yesterday with the TPA. We've engaged in beginning the calculations of the various coverage amounts for the guarantee associations here. Not only do we have some challenging coverage amounts, some of the ordinary coverage adjustments, like the Moody's interest rate adjustment, is very complicated in this one because of the history and the facts around how they've credited interest on these companies. So there's going to be a lot of calculations underway. We're hopeful that the month of August and September, those numbers will be finalized, because we do think we get to November and December, guarantee associations are going to be paying a lot, approximately about right around $2 billion in annuity benefits. But let me finish off refunds, and I'll come back to a little cleanup I think we need to do on the assessment. So refunds, if we can look at the cash available needs schedule here, and what we do is we tell you, here's what we have in cash. Here's receivables that we think we have coming in the door, and anything that's a payable, whether it's a forecasted obligation under a policy, a repayment of an intercompany loan, what we think we've got to pay on these. So when you get to the net position, it's a forecast of, do we think we're going to have excess funds from what we're holding right now and what we think we're going to recover? Or do we think we're going to have a deficit we may need to assess? But let's just go down the list. Bankers Life, I've mentioned we're not activated yet. And we already have the authority to assess on that one. Bright Healthcare, the other big negative there. We believe we're going to recover all of that. Colorado Bankers, you've already addressed that through an assessment. Executive Life, we're not completely through with that yet, so we need to hold on to what we think is $211,000. Friday Healthcare, that $12 million deficit should go away with the early access distribution we have requested and is in process. I'm going to hit the big numbers here. Let's go down to Penn Treaty and the $10 million. We're a long way from being done with this block of business. This is not the time to be refunding, because it's an aging block of business, and claims and the actual experience on block could change at any time. So of the $130 million that we funded here, we're on track through LTC Re, but we do think this $10 million we need to hold for expenses and for possible negative experience. So looking at this schedule, there's not a lot of excess money other than Penn Treaty, so we're not saying anything about a refund. And the major negatives that you see on here that might warrant a Class B assessment have already been addressed and an assessment authorized by the board of directors at your recommendation, or we believe we have early access funds and recoveries that we should see soon, and we'll take care of the deficit. So if I may, and Jackie, I'm going to go back to the minutes, to the resolution that was recommended by this committee. And Jackie was good to point this out, and we went back and read through it. Okay. This resolution you see on screen is what you recommended to the board of directors and they adopted. This is standard language we have used in this association forever. But if you look at exactly what it says, it's not completely accurate. You start with authorizes Class B assessments against all member companies. Well, when we do an assessment for Bankers Life and Colorado Bankers, the way the process and is calculated, you look at the life insurance and annuity premiums for specific years, and there's a way you calculate the market share and calculate the assessment. There are companies, member companies of the association that only have health insurance obligations, only have health insurance premiums. They will not be a part of the Colorado Bankers, Bankers Life assessments. So not all member companies will be seeing a Class B assessment for these companies. So, and that's the way it is in every insolvency. And every assessment we do, there may be 1,100 members of this association. We send out an assessment. Sometimes it's 400 companies, sometimes it's 600, sometimes it's 800, depending on the blocks of business involved and the market share of their premium writings. So we think it would be appropriate that this committee recommend a Class B assessment, and I'll say it's an alteration, Jackie, in this recommended resolution to remove the words against all member companies. So it would just read authorizes Class B assessments to cover the Guaranty Association's projected expenses for, and it goes on from there. Because that is accurate. Exactly which company, member companies are billed and how it's calculated, that's part of the process. It does not need to be part of the resolution. Jackie, would you like to add?
No, I think you did a good job of describing that, Bart. And, you know, it made me wonder whether the origins of this resolution wasn't for a Class A assessment, because that would be correct language for a Class A, and that it just, you know, it just didn't carry over. And I was actually surprised when, I don't even know why I noticed it, but I was surprised then that, you know, we've had that language for a long time. And obviously the assessments have not, Class B assessments have not been against all member companies, right, as Bart described. They've been against the companies, you know, who show up in the premium data as the companies who would be liable for the assessment. So, and I think what Bart described as the way to fix this is fine. Just a resolution from, or a recommendation from this committee to the board to just amend its resolution, you know, that it passed in April, to take out that language. And since we didn't have this posted as an action item, I think it would be okay to, you know, sort of make a recommendation that doesn't necessarily have a formal motion and a second and a vote. I think you all can do that by acclamation if you are in agreement.
Bart, can I ask one more question?
Yes.
Are these annuity only obligations?
No.
Okay, well, maybe we need to amend that to at the last sentence while we're amending.
In the further resolve.
There is a block of life insurance business here. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Are we covering that through the other funds, though, or through the assessment? I thought the life were being covered by something else.
The life is covered by the old Lincoln Memorial money, I believe.
Yeah. Did we include these two companies in that? In
I can those look real quick.
Seven? I don't recall. That's my question.
I want to look, Jarrett. Because it may have, that resolution may have said other life insurance obligations, and that might go beyond just those specific.
I thought we covered it before, but I may be mistaken.
Jim, I'm sorry, you're probably, video. You're probably right. I don't recall.
I think you are correct, Jim, because I remember at one point there was discussion about whether those funds could be used for these annuity obligations as well, and the decision was not to do that.
Yeah. And I'm okay, sorry, I'm off video. My connection was unstable.
Excuse me, Jim.
Yeah. Bart, I just said apologize.
I never speak up, but I'm just to make a point, a question. Have you placed this? Is this on the agenda for the meeting next week?
It's under the report from this committee.
So it's under the report, but I was just curious as a way to get around the action item in the.
Well, that's not required, Sean and Jackie. When we post a meeting and even we publicize the agenda, action items are just a projection from me to help the committee that I think this may be an action item. There's nothing required in posting to say this item here or this item over here are action items. If an item is noted on the agenda, that entity, whether it be a committee or the board, may take an action or not take an action.
Well, what I was going to suggest, and I'm not going to try to tell you because you've certainly done more of this than I have. If it were on the agenda for next week, or you could add it, perhaps. I don't even know if you need a resolution from this group to do anything. You can just bring it up then and then explain it as you have.
Well,
I defer to you, you know.
I think you're right, Sean. I think since we're in the habit of the committees making recommendations to the board, I think the board would want to basically hear from the committee that the committee thinks this is the thing to do. But I don't think it has to be in the form of a resolution, or I think you can sort of, the committee can do it by, I think Jim can just report that the committee discussed it and agrees that the resolution should be amended to be clearer about who is being assessed.
So let me clarify the action in July of 2023 by the board. We did in the whereas aspects of the resolution specifically name seven companies, but we also noted that the liquidation order has been entered and been appealed for these two companies, Bankers Life and Colorado Bankers. But then the actual resolution allowed these funds to be transferred to an insolvency expense account to pay obligations of these seven companies and other life insurance obligations as they become due. So these two companies were specifically noted in the resolution, and the life insurance, the ability to pay other life insurance obligations was authorized. So any life insurance obligations for Colorado Bankers and Bankers Life, we would pay them from the insolvency expense account.
So the only change we need to make then is against all member companies.
Right. And just to clarify, when Jackie says this may have come from an older Class A assessment, but even Class A assessments, not all member companies get a Class A assessment, because we have a lot of property and casualty companies, by virtue of their certificate authority, have the right to issue and write health insurance business, but they don't. And since they don't have any premium volume, they don't ever get an assessment. So we have some 300 probably property and casualty members that never get an assessment because they never write health insurance.
I have one other point to make, just to be a troublemaker.
Sure.
And I agree with you, Bart, that change would certainly satisfy the statutory requirements and might be more accurate. Is there any issue with changing this wording that has been used in the past consistently? Is that an issue for you? And again, I'm not suggesting anybody should continue doing something the wrong way.
No, I would say, you know, this, Sean. You know, I just think those words are unnecessary.
Okay.
Just to authorize a Class B assessment to cover our obligations is all you need to say.
I'm just saying it to say it. You know, just so I could throw that thought out there.
Yeah.
For the change. And I respect y'all's decision on it, but I'm not trying.
I'll say this: I don't think it makes a lot of difference, but it is much cleaner.
Yeah. Well,
and we've been doing a lot of cleanup on some of our, verbiage. For quite a while. Anytime we can chase something down and say, that's not completely right, well, let's change it so it is right.
And we do the same here. So we're not tied to any language. So I respect, I was just throwing that out there to make sure no one had any heartache about it. So,
yeah. I personally have no issue with the change. I think that's removing that, I think, is consistent with how the board would have originally adopted the resolution anyway. So I don't think that will create much issue with the board. I guess I'd defer to my other committee members if they have any other thoughts.
I agree with you.
So, Jackie,
yeah,
I'll
this
ask.
Is Dean. I agree with you.
Thanks, Dean. Jackie, I'll ask the action from the committee. Would it be appropriate for them to recommend the board of directors amend the prior resolution to remove the four words against all member companies?
Yes. Yeah. And I think, yes, we can either do that by a resolution, you know, or we can, since the three committee members have basically agreed on how to, or what the fix needs to be, we can just report it that way. I don't have strong feelings about that.
That seems very clean.
Yeah, I'm fine doing it by acclamation if all three members have spoken up or are in agreement. So if you think that suffices, Jackie, unless there's any other thoughts by the committee, I'm okay with that. Let's report out.
We won't do a resolution, right?
Right.
Correct.
But we will ask in the report that Jim provides on the 23rd, he will ask the board to amend their prior resolution.
I think that should work.
Okay, and let me finish off this assessment. So I mentioned this $102.2 million assessment for Colorado Bankers and Bankers Life. Just looking at my numbers, there's about $20 million of potential obligation for life insurance. And I see that I specifically took it out of these numbers. So $102.2 million is for annuity obligations from Bankers and Colorado Bankers only. So that's clean. Jarrett is already starting the work on the assessment and why this is important. Normally doing a $100 million assessment is you could do it, you know, in an hour or two. This would be the first virtual assessment that the association will do. We will be doing no hard copy mailing. We're going to do an electronic email distribution. We've been gathering email addresses and preparing and testing. So we were going to distribute this assessment notice by email and have electronic payment. So a much cleaner process. A couple of the guarantee associations have used this and had very good success. We've been using electronic payment and it's worked well, but this will be the first time with email notification. And based on the results we've had and all the extra work we've had to do with hard copy mailings, this is a little bit long overdue, I'll say. Jarrett, anything on the process you want to add?
No, I think you got it.
Questions on the assessment process or this assessment from the committee?
None here. Thanks, Bart. Do we have items for item five, executive session?
I have nothing. I'll ask counsel if she has anything for executive session.
I do not. Thank you, Bart.
Or if any committee member has something they'd like to discuss with counsel in executive session.
I do not, committee.
This is Ted. I do not either.
Yeah, this is Dean. Right. I don't have anything.
All right. Well, that'll move us past item five and item six, I guess. Item seven, I guess, review the annual review of the responsibilities and duties of the committee in the charter.
Jarrett, you've gone through this. I read it. I didn't identify anything that would warrant alteration. Did you identify anything you recommend to the committee?
I have nothing to recommend.
I do not either. Any committee members with any proposed changes to the charter? Assuming none.
Nope.
I'm okay.
All right. I think that brings us to item eight, Bart. Item eight.
The next meeting is scheduled for January 14th, 2025. And the committee, if you would like to look at that now or look at it and tell me later, either way, we have plenty of time to plan this. That is 1 week prior to the scheduled board of directors meeting. We have it scheduled for January 21st in 2025.
I'm afraid to touch my phone, Bart, as it's my hotspot. So I will look at my calendar later.
Yeah, you can let me know if we need to alter that in any way and move it around. We've got plenty of time. And Chair Harrison, that is all we have for you today.
Okay. Anything else from any members of the committee? Otherwise, I will adjourn. All right. The time is 2:14 on July 16, 2024. And this meeting of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association is hereby adjourned. Thank you.